I'm an addict, okay? I want you to get excited. I want to thank you for coming back to the EFC. What's the record? What is that?
Hey. We're remixing you.
Yeah, well, don't do that, please. But this is our eighth EFC, all right? The agenda is prepared by listening to people, listening to groups, and where we're at, where our growth is at. And tonight is get to know one another. The important part is to know one another. We know some of you, some we're just meeting. So if you see someone that's drifting off and they're new here, please get together with them. Love them and care for them. Make them feel part of the family, because this is family here. We are family here. We are here to help one another find recovery. And we're here to facilitate our message that Jimmy talks about. And he talks about a message of hope and promise, freedom from active addiction. And his dream is how we carry this message worldwide. That no addict need die without hearing our message. Okay? That there's hope and a promise of freedom from active addiction. And it's our responsibility. Jimmy tells you it's our responsibility. Nobody else's. I'm tired of us looking to other places. The home group is the most important vehicle that can do this. And I think the importance of this EFC is home groups are developing. Home groups are starting to do what I call outreach, which we have a workshop this time on. And I'm going to talk about that throughout the conference. Because miracles are going to happen beyond our wildest dreams. And this has been a dream of mine since I met some lunatic sitting in the Himalayan mountains putting it on Facebook. He's looking for a sponsor on Facebook. All right, it's what brought me here. And I've been coming back ever since. This is my second time here this year. So I'm spending a half a month out of the year in the Netherlands now. All right, I look forward to coming home. All right, I look forward to being involved with people. I look forward with the excitement. And we're here to get to know one another, so you're getting to know me a little bit here. I care. I'm here because I want to see Narcotics Anonymous, as is written in the book, in the basic text. Not how some service structure out there that we're not part of is trying to change our message. Our message is the message of Jimmy Kinnon, our founding member. And it's been the same message ever since. And we need to carry that message. There is no, when you, and I don't care, I'm hearing some stories about some cities that some of the people just telling me about down south. There's some cities that, in Belgium, where they got homeless like Kensington, Philadelphia. And anyone get on the news and Google Kensington, Allegheny, and Kensington Avenue, I was just there. My heart was broken. I did a lot of work in the early 80s, outreaching into Philadelphia, helping people get off the ground. And Kensington is one of the places I went to. We started Narcotics Anonymous there. I spent most of my 80s down there helping people in Philadelphia reach out and help addicts find recovery. They had a place called the Hole in the Wall in Kensington, and that's what it was. Let me tell you, the roaches, I think, were as big as cats. I'm just kidding you on that, but the rats were. The rats could eat cats in that section. All right? However, what we saw was addicts who wanted recovery, so we went there and we helped them. I was just down there. What I saw was disgusting. Garbage as high as this table on people's walkways in front of their home. People were afraid to come out of their homes because of what was going on, and the police did nothing. There's people living on the streets like you talked about in Belgium. But these people were shooting dope. You don't even know what chemicals they're putting in their body, because it's not pure heroin. It's cutter. And the cutter is devastating. It's a horse tranquilizer, and I believe it was 1,000 times more powerful than what they called PCP years ago. This shit is bad. People are like zombies. I call it the night and day of the living dead in Kensington, Philadelphia. What I didn't see, when I look at that poster back there, the big poster on the wall, you take pride in bringing that here and putting it on our wall. What I didn't see was one poster in any business's windows on Kensington Avenue or Allegheny. All businesses had bars on their windows, afraid to leave people in. You're in business. How are you going to do business if you're afraid to leave people in? But I didn't see Narcotics Anonymous in Philadelphia getting the message into Kensington, Pennsylvania, part of their city. My heart was broken. My heart was broken because we come on a reliance on rehabilitation to do RPI for us, to get addicts to us. They're not giving us addicts that are clean, folks. We got to detox them the minute we get them. We got to get them clean. We got to show them a way of life. So my heart was broken. If anything I do, I care about you and I care about every addict out there in the world that has that they should have that same opportunity I found in 1979 when God brought me to Narcotics Anonymous. And when our hearts are broken from seeing this, I'm overjoyed when I see people bring their books and say, this is what we're doing, showing the front, inside the cover. And they got a code there that people can get that book, get on there, and find their meetings. I'm overjoyed when I see posters. I'm overjoyed when I see our web pages, okay? I'm overjoyed when I see our newest magazine out, which I'll be going over here with the conference agenda. And the reason we do that agenda and the purpose of it, that's what I'm here for, is to talk about areas like that. I'm here to talk about the Anonymous Foundation so you understand what it truly is. I'm here to talk about the conference agenda because I'm also sad when I see a motion passed with four groups voting and how many groups non-participating, not voting, but the motion passes. That's not group conscience to me. It means we're doing a bad job of informing you and letting you know the reasons that that conference agenda is together. And we need to relay that message better. We need to do it better. I am saddened when I see a magazine that we were putting out every other month and doing two special, eight a year. And this year we did two, right? Two. I'm saddened by that. I'm saddened because people don't understand what the magazine's purpose is. The purpose is for you to write, for you to be able to write poems, for you to be showcased, every member in the fellowship, to showcase them, to showcase their philosophy, their recovery. That other addicts may pick up your story and you may be the only one that can touch them, and they pick a magazine up and read it and they see their self and they find hope. What I am happy about is a translation of literature. I'm telling you, I'm real happy. I'm excited about that because I'm watching a miracle. I'm watching addicts translate. We've had long discussions with some people about this, how one word could matter so much if we don't translate it properly. It could change our whole message. And that's what you were stuck with for years by World Service, right? Translating your literature. They didn't even call you Narcotics Anonymous. They called you all different names. You go to different countries, it's different names. All right? Anonymous Addict. What the hell is that? I don't belong to a program called Anonymous Addicts. I belong to Narcotics Anonymous. People say, well, they ever do narcotics? Some people are trying to change it back to narcotics and sedationing. No, that's what's a mistake in the 50s. We changed it to we're powerless over addiction, not narcotics and sedation. I'm going to be talking a little bit in one of my workshops about that because I'm going to show you a piece of literature where someone's done that to us, okay? And they stole the piece of what we're working on. They stole it, and we need to deal with it, and I need direction from the groups, and I want to, this is the first time I'm being able to talk to the groups about it. And I'm going to need directions how to handle this as your agent. But I'm here to be part of your lives. So I'm going to spend time with you. You want to spend time on the couch tonight? Spend time on the couch with me. This is where I stay. All right, if I ever get to my bedroom, it don't matter. I'll get to the shower in the morning. I won't make you smell me all weekend, okay? So this is your time to get to know one another, and every person come up and talk about that at this moment. And after this, we're going to do a gray book meeting. I don't know who's chairing it, but someone's going to volunteer, and we're going to have a gray book meeting. Okay? So the floor is yours. Total abstinence is our message. I don't care what people think. It is our message. I don't care if you read the sixth edition first book. The message in the first book has not been changed in that sense. I give a person the book, read it. I don't care what edition you give them, first through the sixth. Well, seven they actually have, because third edition revised, you have third edition. So you got seven editions, first book. You show me where it doesn't talk about total absence of many mood-changing submolar chemical in the book. To ask me to come share and exclude that would be a lie. It would be a lie. I'm going on 44 years clean November the 16th. I'll celebrate. And to limit me to be able to carry a message of hope and promise of freedom the way Jimmy Kennan taught me would be a lie. It would be a lie. And if people are getting upset, the first year we came here, we didn't call it the EFC, we had a real explosion. All right? Everything went haywire. People were running. They were shell-shocked.
Oh, that was only on the surface structure. The total abstinence one came after that.
Okay. Well, it's still okay.
But it was the Morris watch, yeah. But,
it, yeah. It's shell-shock. People are being raised by a structure that is affiliated with outside places as rehabilitation centers who are pumping to change our book. They are looking to retire the basic text. The sooner they do it, the better. Because then I will walk in and sue them and take the name back. I will take Jimmy Kennan's Narcotics Anonymous back for the Fellowship Narcotics Anonymous, and it will be our fellowship. And they will never be able to touch that name again. Our very sake of our lives depend on total abstinence. Jimmy Kennan said, and we had it before, and it used to say, they changed that for a reason. It said, none of these things work. It said psychiatry and all these other ways didn't work. And that's what it used to say. They changed that. Every time we try to solve Narcotics Anonymous, we open ourselves up. We're not here to tell people what they can do in the outside world, but when you give that precious clean time out, it's precious to me. It's precious. You're attacking my way of life when psychiatry evaluated me as being mentally ill, manic depressive schizophrenic, that do drugs the rest of my life. The Fellowship Narcotics Anonymous told me I didn't have to use. The treatment industry wanted to put me on drugs. I rejected it. And I'm appalled that we're in a fellowship today that's overrun, and I've been speaking about this lately, and I'm going into these meetings and letting them know a fellowship that's overrun with people fighting for the right to use. They haven't hit a bottom. And the industry itself is what I call the repeat. And there are people in powerful positions realizing it's a repeat business. There are people that are going to be suing in America, the treatment industry in Florida and California, attorney generals going after the industry because of what they're doing. That I know. I've talked with attorney generals on these issues. They wanted me to testify. They wanted me to give them names. And I told them, follow the dollar. You'll find them yourself. Find out you have the ability to do these things. You have the ability to get warrants. You have the ability to make them come to hearings. You have the ability to get in their bank accounts and see where they invest their money. I don't have to do that for you, but you have that ability. And when you're ready for that, I point at you in the right way, but I'm not going into that battle. It's an outside issue to me. I'm not going to drag our fellowship through that court case that you're going to drag these people through. You have that ability to do that, so do it. All right? We need to stay helping addicts in all forms. We need to clear a clear message. And the way to hand a book out is say, read the book. They bark about, well, you're not giving me a key tag. Well, you show me in the book, that it says that we have anything but total absence of any mood change, supplemental, or chemical. They're going to go to one spot. I can tell you exactly where to go because they've done it every time. They go to the part where it says extreme physical pain. I want you to look at where that came from. That came from the Board of Trustees. It did not come from the writers. If you read the approval form, it was not in the approval form. It's another thing they changed. They changed that for the little, and I don't mind it though. I do mind how they did it. I don't mind it because it talks about extreme physical pain. It talks about educating your doctors. It talks about talking with your sponsor, and it talks about detoxing yourself before you stay extra days in the hospital. So they're talking about when I go in there and been in there, when his hand was crushed and his fingers were severed, and I'm laying on a bed and the doctors are trying to convince my wife to sign the papers, and I'm telling them I'm going to do this through prayer and we're going to get through it. And they're trying to tell my wife I'm in shock. My wife's saying the only one in shock is your doctors. And the only thing that they gave me is they were allowed to put me under to operate. When I came out, I pulled the IV out. I want to know what's in the IV. And if there's anything more than saline, a salt mixture, get it out of my veins. I want ibuprofen and I want ice. And I got through extreme physical pain. I've had knees operated on and watched them operate because I'm nuts. I want to see them cut my knee open. I want to see them lay and they're looking at me, what are you doing? I says, I want to watch you. I said, it's like playing a fish to me. All right? They gave me a nerve block. There are other alternatives than doing drugs. But if you don't have the pain tolerance, hey, don't feel guilty if you had to do some things in the hospital to get through. That's what it's telling you. There's no way in the basic text to talk anything different. Talks about, it doesn't say emotional pain, does it? Nowhere in the book does it say, it tells you Jimmy Kinn's only experience, the last thing to return, and it used to be emotional sobriety, we changed it to emotional stability. Okay? The only place it talks about emotions to last the return is your emotional stability. That's it. Doesn't tell you run to a doctor because I'm emotionally unstable. Tells me that the steps can deliver me. That's what it tells me. We cannot change our philosophy to fit the psychiatry field. We cannot change it to fit the repeat business. We cannot change our philosophy because addicts are going to die by the droves. And I've had doctors tell me that. Do not ever change your philosophy or addicts are going to die. There is no hope for them where we're headed. And they told me exactly where they're headed and guess where we're at. Exactly what these doctors told me. They care enough for us to tell me you need to make sure your fellowship does not change this. Because we know they're going to be pressured by the medical field. We know they're going to be pressured by the rehabilitation field. You know, the changes, the fourth edition was from pressure by Hazleton. That's where it came from. Bob Stone, Bob Raymar, and then the guy who became our NAWA editor back then, Ron Hoffus, went to Hazleton and they told him, we're going to print a book if you don't change yours. So all of a sudden, we're creating another book for them. 2012, the fall of 2012. It's in their board meetings. We got to change our fellowship to accept people coming out of rehabs as being clean on medication. It's right in their board minute. And who came to them about that? Hazleton again. We are going to create our own fellowship, is what they told them. So now we're stuck with this whole mental bullshit because they are pressured for sales of books. Their biggest customer is a rehabilitation field. That's their biggest customer. We are controlled and pressured from the outside, and they have been altering our outside, even the way they run their conference, which is none of our business, which I don't care how they run it, but the way they run it, it's run who can argue the best, and it takes a couple days, and if you keep arguing your point of view, that ain't group conscious, but that's how they do it. If you argue your point of view and you're good enough at it, you can sway the crowd. And they did that under an outside guy who supervised them to do that. Know your history. I mean, if you're going to change our philosophy in your groups, I'm going to take my home group, and we're going to restart the Fellowship Service Conference back over again in a total abstinence program. Because I will not be part of a program that kills addicts. I will not be part of a program that says this program does not work. And you got to think about what we're talking about. Is there a way to present it when I speak? I don't change my way I speak. I don't change it. I'm not going to talk about these issues I'm talking about here in a conference. I'm not going to talk to you about Hazleton and twice how they pressured our World Services. I'm not going to talk to you about how World Service operates. I don't acknowledge them. They don't exist in my mind. What exists is your home groups, you carrying the message, expanding our message, and taking our fellowship back to the point of Jimmy Kinnon's philosophy. That's what I'm here for. And I need you to understand one thing. Total abstinence from any mood changes, some minor chemicals in our book all over the place. And read the Gray Book, it's even more in depth. It's more out front on that issue. So the best way to do is give them a book. Let them read it. Let them keep reading it. Talk to them about the book. Ask them what they found. Ask them questions instead. And they will come to a point where they're going to come to you and ask you. Someone came to me and asked me a question. I talked with that person. I got them information. I'm not going to give them medical advice. I'm going to give them what I find, and I'm going to say, here's what they're saying. They're printing. This could happen to you. You could have heart failure. You could have diabetes from it. You could have liver damage. You could have kidney damage, pancreas damage. Now, is that what you want? Talk with your doctor about it and tell them. If you choose you want to get off it, you want to do at least 6 months of being brought off. Don't ever cold turkey with some of these drugs they put you on. I will not give you medical advice in that area. But I will tell you, inform your doctor, it says it in the book, talk with your sponsor, work your way, and I'm going to be part of your support system. Call me, okay? I will participate. I don't care if it's 3 a.m, I will pick up the phone. If you're struggling, I will work with you because I believe in hope and I believe in faith of this Fellowship Narcotics Anonymous delivered me from hell. So I had to come up and talk about this, okay? Because it hurts my heart. If you want to Zoom me into a meeting like that, I'm willing to be Zoomed in. But I can't always hop on a plane and get over here, okay? So, thank you. Everyone get one of these? Everyone have one? Well, you better come get one. All right? We wrote it. It's the first fastest magazine we ever put out. All right? We broke a record, right? However, it's the first one we ever put out the EFC directly at the conference. And they worked here to 3 in the morning to make sure they were ready for you. Yeah, for use. Well, 4 in the morning, whatever time it was, it don't matter. But think about that, okay? Think about that. Capability. Capability is what we're talking about. Stretching the mind. Not finding reasons not to do, but finding reasons to do, to accomplish goals. And when I talk about vision, vision is a plan of action. You have a vision, but now you got to put into action. Jimmy's dream was a vision. It was a vision. I've lived that vision since I come into Narcotics Anonymous. I have a plan of action for my life. It's planning my life. Planning my life, I was taught, oh, I got to do this. This is my 9th year here, so I got to make another 3-year commitment. Okay? I make things in 3. Remember I'd say you could do outreach in 3 years? You plan for how to develop a group. We went over that. How to do that. Well, I wrote something up for you on how our group did it. How we developed our group into an area where there was no area. We developed it because of a need. The need is for addicts to communicate. And we've gone back to the original style of Narcotics Anonymous, what worked. This constant making change for no reason is not a reason to make change. Change is made because of a reason. Because something's not working, we got to change. That's how we got here. Everyone has got here because our plan was not working. We were failures at drug use. You don't end up here because you weren't failures. And what keeps us here is recovery. What keeps us here is success. I hear some things here. I want to take care of my personal recovery. That should be always our plan. That should be constant, our plan to change internally. We change from the inside. The outside will change. If you're struggling with health, it will change by changing your food plans. It will change by putting the right nutrients in your body. Taking a walk in the morning. Taking a walk before you go to sleep at night. All right? Riding your bike an extra 10 miles. I mean, seriously, these are things that make change physically by activity. It takes activity to change physically, right? It doesn't happen because we lay on the couch, we turn the boob tube on, and we sit there and watch bullshit. They give us more channels than anything anymore. I mean, seriously, I live stream what I want now. I got rid of cable. In America, we've always had access to loads of things to watch on the TV. When I go other places, I'm like, where the hell's all the channels at? I'm used to having that access. Now I'm accessed about 1,000 different stations, and there's still nothing there worthwhile. It's the waste of time. I need to get out in the community. It's like I had a pastor one time tell me, you know, and he's like, well, why don't I come to church more often? I said, why don't you get the church into the streets more often? He looked at me and said, what are you talking about? I said, you come here, you want everyone here every time you open up the door, but what are you doing to get them into the streets to help people? What are we doing to make change? I'd rather be in the streets. I'd rather be talking with people, communicating with people. I'd rather find out what's going on with people's lives and what we can do to make change. In Narcotics Anonymous, we have a phenomenal thing, and it's called carrying the message. Where does that happen at, your 12th step? It's a result of the steps you want to carry the message. How we do it is through the home group. The most important vehicle we have is home group. We must never lose a big H on the home group. I talked about the little HP, we need to get rid of it, but the big H in the home group is also something that we all go to our home groups. We participate, and that's where the vehicle starts. You start the car. You know what you got to do, though, when you buy a brand new car? Anyone ever buy new cars? I mean, I know I did. Bought a few of them. After a few years, you're tired of the old car, right? Then it starts breaking down. You need a new battery. You need a new generator. You need an alternator. You need, you got to upkeep this damn piece of car you bought. Right? It's the same thing here. It's our upkeep. We always miss the maintenance part. The maintenance is the important part of what we do with home groups, maintaining it. Making sure it's always fresh, making sure we're rotation of services, making sure when you rotate out that you're not, you're going back to where? Welcoming newcomers, working out in the field, doing the things you learned all these years. That's what we need to learn how to do better. Not I did my time. I hear some older members with my clean time say, I did my time. I'm waiting for the newer people to step up. Waiting for the newer people, why should they step up if you're not stepping up anymore? When did you become old? I'm tired of old man and old woman mentality. I never want to be that. Now I'm at that age, but I don't want to be like them. I don't want to be old. I don't want to be sitting on a rocking chair as I visioned old people when I grew up. What was wrong with them? You know what's happening? They're dying. Same thing happens in here. We start getting clean time. We start dying again because we don't maintain our recovery. We don't stay plugged in. We start to become isolated again. My vision's always been never to be isolated. Never to be trapped. I know that's addiction. Tells us we need to deal with the things that will take us out there time and time again. Well, guess what? That thinking process takes us back out there. It gets us closer. You know what it gets us closer to when you start getting old? You start remembering all them things when you were young. You're supposed to have pain when you're old, right? All old people are in pain, right? Isn't that what you hear? Oh, you'll know when you get there, kiddie. And then I get there, the only pain I'm in is because I caused it by not taking care of my body all these years. But there's ways to alleviate pain, and it's not with drugs. It's natural remedies, it's about activity. It's about not staying on the couch, not staying in the rocking chair. Get out and get involved. I always tell someone, now you have knowledge, give it away. Why are you getting old? You should never get old in recovery. It always should be fresh. It always be exciting. And you should plan of action. We did a lot of workshops here this time. They were a little bit more in depth. They were a little bit more understanding how to grow. Now it's our time to do the work. From here to next year, it got to be a plan of action. You got to sit down with your groups. What's our plan of action as your group? Your plan of action as a group will deliver the growth of Narcotics Anonymous. But you've got to go back to your group now, and you need to talk about a plan of actions, how to grow. How to outreach. How to fellowship. Get out of the self-centeredism. You know what I hear a lot of older members? I earned the right to be self-centered again. That's what I hear. I got this, I got that. You don't know what it's like. Ain't that, we're supposed to look at our similarities, not our differences. I hear about, oh, I got three children. You don't know, I raised three children. I am raising three grandchildren, taking the responsibility of a parent. I don't want to hear it about all these other things you got today. You only have them because you walk through the doors of Narcotics Anonymous, or you wouldn't have businesses that you have today. Your business should make you more mobile. It should make it more exciting for your life. But you still got a commitment to give back in Narcotics Anonymous, or you will lose everything you have. I'm telling you, I watched it happen to a lot of people. The worst thing to lose is your spirit. That's what happens to a lot of older members. They lose their spirit because they stop doing what got them there. My plan of action has been never to get there. I plan never to get there, and I plan to keep giving back. It was phenomenal. The whole weekend's been phenomenal since we walked through the door, since I got here, and we went to, you know, and went to a meeting, and there were 43 people there. And I'm looking at the people we need to find and touch in the room. Everyone told me there were 17 new people they'd never seen in that meeting. And we couldn't even get to all of them because they ran out the door too fast. Well, next time we got to block the freaking doorways. What do I say? Where do I like sitting? As I got older in recovery, I like sitting by the door. You're not walking out. But you have two doors, you need somebody sitting at one door, someone at the other door. And pass that newcomer to the next person. You need to meet this person. Hold on, come over here. You need to meet this person. Pass them on. Just keep passing them on. And they'll all be touched. They'll all have a plan of action for their next meeting. You know, and that's what our responsibility are. I think about Jimmy Kinnon all the time. And what he laid out before. What he was doing, even on his dying bed, was reaching out to people and helping people. What he did, that there May, he died in July, he came to the World Service Conference to meet me. And I had Douglas come, I was on the conference floor, and he come and says, the old man wants to see you, because he always called him the old man. I said, maybe you're the old one, Doug, because he's a young man. I said, he's more fresher than most. And I went back and he gave me a hug and he wrote in my red book, alive and well in 85. Even in his deathbed, he was alive and well, and he came to hug an addict that he built a relationship with since 1979 to 85. And he died in July the 5th. He died and he went home. But his action of reaching out to someone he built a relationship with is important to me. Then I went back, I talked with him, I hugged him, I gave my alternate, I said, take care of the floor, I don't know, I'm going to see Jimmy. And everyone wanted to see Jimmy, but Jimmy didn't want to, he was there for one reason, to hug me. And I was felt so overwhelmed with joy. I carry out his vision every day in Narcotics Anonymous. His vision has become my vision. He laid out the vision for us to reach every suffering addict in the world that they may find hope and the promise of freedom from active disease. From disease. Freedom from the chains and the bondage we place ourselves. That's why the steps are important, but the traditions are utmost important to work together in groups. Study the traditions together. We're doing that once a month through Zoom. I got to figure out what our next one is because we should be doing it today, but we're here. All right? Because this is our normal Sunday afternoon to be on Zoom at 6 o'clock this evening. And I'm at 12 noon. Sitting at the computer with around 45, 50 addicts going over the traditions. You know, and I lead it off, I talk about the tradition, what's the application of it, and then I open it up to the floor for questions and answers. And I ask people to do their homework, come prepared. Be prepared every day, have a tool bag. We call the five tools of recovery essential tools of recovery for a reason. It's your tool bag for personal recovery. for group recovery, your tool bag should be the 12 traditions. And it should be learning how to overcome our personalities and not dictating or controlling the group, but flourishing as a group, a healthy group, to expand our base and always keep the maintenance of the group so we can expand our base again. The group should always be growing. The group should always be carrying the message. And if we do that, we are going to be healthy for the rest of the year, because we're going to be engaged. Our vision is to be engaged. Give of your personal time. That's part of the seventh tradition. Everyone likes to talk about money. Money is something we need, but guess what? If you're doing everything else, the money comes. Don't worry about it. Your heart will tell you how much you should give. You go in your pocket, and you go to pull out whatever coin you usually put in, and you know there's more in there, let your heart tell you what to pull out. It's no one's business. My heart tells me what I commit. Time, energy, my money. But it starts with time, my energy, and then the money. Because as I grew spiritually, the money comes out easier. I'm not concerned, I'm not bound by the money anymore. See, that's how that works. I'm not worrying no more. God's going to take care of me regardless. I do have to plan prudently to make sure that bills are paid at the household, the home front's taken care of. But whatever's in there's been days I'm like, I go to put my normal in, and God says, what are you doing in there? There's a lot more in there. Get it out of there. Why are you walking home with money in that pocket? So I get it out and throw it in. And it's no, I'm free. I'm not controlled by it anymore. So plan of action is, I think every home group needs to go back to and get a plan of action. And when I come here, I come for the full conference. I don't want to miss a moment of it. I don't want to miss a moment. If I miss a moment, I'm missing something that I could miss the miracle. If I'm missing the miracle, like that 15-year-old kid yesterday that walked through the door, I would have missed that if I left here. That 15-year-old kid is plugged in now. He knows where to go to. He knows where the meeting is in Amsterdam. He knows where the meetings are in Hangelwood now. He got a base when he left here. He didn't want to leave, but he had to leave because where he's living. He had to be in by a certain time. But he bicycled here on the other side of Amsterdam to get here. He made a commitment to get here because his brother had called out and touched him. His brother is his first CFC, new person in Narcotics Anonymous, found hope, found freedom here. So we had two newcomers here. And their brothers, and they're both going to come to Narcotics Anonymous. They found hope. So our hope should be to make sure that this young man there in the pink sweatshirt, okay, all right, becomes an active member of the home group. So he can start giving back and carrying the message to other people like him. He knows the suffering people out there. He knows where they're at. How do we reach out to these people? Each one even know where they're at. How do we get the message to them? How do we put something in their place that they got to look at? How do we trick them to see something that says there's hope? That's our responsibility. How do we do it? That's what we planted in the home group, the action in the home group, right? Not going to Vegas, right? He's already put that. He took that right off the plan of action. No more Vegas. All right? If you don't have a reason to be there, the only reason for me to be in Vegas is a wrestling tournament. And what I do when I go there for a wrestling tournament, I don't go in a casino. I use the casino for my base because I figure out where to get the cheapest rooms. I never go in that there, but when you start hearing them noises, you know them noises in there? They're a devil. It's a disease saying, come on in. And when you go in there, you never come out. is like that song, Hotel California, okay? There's no way out. You keep going, you're trapped. That's what they do to you. I went to a casino. I didn't go in a casino. I'm in Atlantic City. My wife and my son's going in. They went in. I don't know how people do it. I'm going to put $25 out, and once it's gone, I'm leaving. And I'm like, when the hell are they coming out of here? What the hell are they doing? In that time, I planned how to rob the place instead. Then I called my friend up, Ed from AC, who was, he worked in the casinos, and he said, how would you do it, Bill? I said, well, first I cut the elevator off. And he said, yeah, and then the sprinklers go off, because when you cut the elevator off, it does the fire alarm. And then everyone's running out, and I'm running in. Okay, because now the electrical system's come down. Now they can't close up the safes. So I just go take what I want. And he said, oh, my God, that'll work. And I was like, Ed, you're not to tell me that. I said, I'm calling you up because of what the fuck my mind's doing. I know there's a lot of money in there. How am I going to get it? I said, that's a quick my mind trigger by that noise, watching the dollars go across the cash and mint. What are the cash? They get chips or something?
Chips, yeah.
Yeah, they
or
get
bills,
their, huh?
Chips or bills.
Well, they get chips or they get the coins to put in the machines, right?
Yeah, I know it, yeah.
Yeah.
Bills also.
Yeah, okay. Then I'm watching this. I'm not even in there and I'm watching it. And I'm thinking, how do you rob this place? How do you get hold of it? Because if you're going to do a job, you better make it big. If you're going to go to the penitentiary, it better be for a real reason. That's where my head goes. I need to get out of there. It's what I need to do. And I needed my wife and my son to come out. My wife finally answered her phone. I said, what are you doing in there? Then I told her what I'm planning. She said, we're leaving now. I said, you didn't lose your $25. No, we're winning. I said, that's the time to leave. The minute you win, leave. Don't stay there. Or you're going to walk out all of a sudden. You're going to lose that all that plus the $25, and then you're going to want to try to recoup it all. And you never leave. Right, yeah. You got the taste of it. They let you win for a while just to set you up to get into your bank. They want to get into your bank account. They want to drain your livelihoods. Well, we need to forget about all that type of stuff. I plan my action. I go there. I use their rooms. I use their food plans. And I go to the wrestling tournaments. And then I go, I ask them, do you go to Red Rock Canyon? No. I went to Death Valley. If they stayed there too much longer, he just burned up. It's that hot there. Probably 140 degrees when you were there.
It was 75 in Dutch language.
Oh, 75 in the Dutch language. It was hot and dry. What it does, it sucks you out from the inside, Death Valley. You actually die from inside. It sucks all the moisture out of you. And you can't put enough back in. That's why all the wagon trains used to perish there. But I make a plan of action on what I'm going to do there, how I'm going to get it done, how I'm going to keep my wrestlers out of them casinos. I'm managing athletes. How am I going to do that? My responsibility is to win championships when I'm there. My responsibility is to have my wrestlers on the top podium getting the gold medal. That's my response, qualifying them for the Olympics. That's what I went there for. It's the only reason for me ever to go to Vegas, because they put the U.S. Open or the Olympic trials there for us. It's the only reason I go there. But I got to avoid the pitfalls. That's what we should be doing every day, avoiding pitfalls. Playmates, play places, play toys, okay? Avoiding them. That's what it says in the grade book. Staying away from playmates, play toys, play places, okay? Avoiding them things. And that's how I do my life. Before I go somewhere, I plan. People are like, oh, did you go to the Red District in Amsterdam? I don't even know where it's at because it's not on my mind. I don't have it on my calendar. It's not on the trip. What do I want to do when I go to Amsterdam? Mostly people want to go see Anne Frank's house. I was going to do that until I got in sort of line. I was not waiting in that line. What do I want to do? I want to go on the canal ride. I want to look at the old buildings. That's what I want to do, and then I want to get out of there because it's nuts in there. I don't belong in there. I don't belong smelling marijuana constantly. So I avoid them situations. I plan my life. How do I reach addicts, so it's I plan that also. Plan of action. Thank you.
I'm an addict. My name is Roy. Hey.